Hello, hello, and welcome to the 141st episode of the Mostly Soccer Podcast. Today is March the 3rd, 2021. Almost a year of COVID, Jimmy. Almost a full year until we've been on lockdown. Fun stuff. But anyways, my name is Michael J. Dalo, and today I'm here with Jimmy. Jimmy, what today?
Well, I guess on the topic of continuing fun stuff, I will be today, I will be Jimmy Toons for this episode, in honor of a great man, the original James Foco, the OG, Jimmy Toons himself, my father, who passed away this last weekend. So, you know, rest in peace to him. In his honor, I will take the moniker for this episode and try to do it proud.
I was hoping that you would be Jimmy Toons today. I don't want to dwell on it. I want happy vibes, good vibes. Mm-hmm. The memory of Toons should be one that is so happy. Toons is a fucking phenomenal person. The man had the greatest three-ball shot of all time.
His corner three, the flick of the wrist.
But I will say, Jimmy, every hero has his tragic flaw. Fantasy football draft picks. Justin Tucker was flying off the board in the sixth round. Yeah. Randall Cobb, forever picked. Larry Fitzgerald.
Always on the team. just a very, very unique individual. Like a legendary person. Yes, but as you said, you got to keep it positive. He was always very positive. Somebody always trying to make it funny, make it fun. So, but I got to be that for him. So
that's right. But anyways, Jimmy, we missed a good chunk of the action. We missed the Mostly Soccer Derby recap. We missed the Merseyside Derby. And I just want to hit on those quick and then we'll get right into it. We're keeping this episode short. We made a promise to ourselves.
We did.
So, Jimmy, let's jump right into it. Let's jump into Arsenal City, the Mostly Soccer Derby. Potentially the most boring game of the season.
It stunk. It was not a good game. We had the one goal in the game from Raheem Sterling in the second minute and not much else. There's really not much else to say after that. I mean, City had a few chances that they should have scored more. They didn't. And Arsenal really didn't do anything. They offered no real threat all game.
No, I'm trying to find the text from that game. And I was just disgusted after they scored immediately. I think I just said, like, I'm not going to watch this if this continues.
Yeah, I think you texted me and said, I'm so close to turning it off.
Within 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I only lasted 2 minutes. But yeah, Arsenal that whole game. I mean, after that first goal, they had a decent spell in the first half. They really didn't play all that badly, but it was a game that they knew they weren't going to win. It was a game that City knew that they weren't going to lose. So I think that one was an open and shut case before the match. I think Pep and Mikel maybe said, let's just make it interesting, but you know who's got to win and who's got to lose. And Mikel agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I actually think after about the first 10 minutes, Arsenal came into the game and they stopped City. That's what they did. They played in a way that they didn't allow City to create that much, but they created absolutely nothing on their own. They had one little chance right before the end of the first half, but outside of that, they created nothing all game. But they, like I said, they did do a decent job at limiting City's opportunities. That was the best thing they did. They did not get beat down, which is an achievement, as how some of these games have gone in the past.
At this point in Arsenal's season and the way that City are playing, I think not getting beat down is a win for Arsenal in that match. So obviously disappointed not to get anything from that match because we gave up such a terrible goal to the shortest man on the field, Raheem Sterling. He somehow was able to get a header over Rob Holding. But, you know, it is what it is. I think a more interesting match, obviously more interesting, given what happened in Arsenal City, was Everton versus Liverpool that we missed. Everton get their first win at Anfield in, I think, over 10 years. A 2-0 victory. What a match for Everton fans.
Yeah, I mean, they must have really enjoyed this one. They had to. Again, this was a game, again, with an early goal. Richarlison scores 3 minutes in. From there on out, I mean, Liverpool created chances throughout this game, did not capitalize on them. Jordan Pickford looked really, really good.
Someone who
I think we've been a little, you know, harsh on in the past, but I thought he had a great game. I think Everton played really well. Liverpool just, I mean, the struggle at home with the fortress that was Anfield, this has not been that this season.
It's really no more. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy. I believe it's four straight defeats at home for Liverpool after, was it 68 games unbeaten or something like that?
Crazy.
It's some insane run. And then for it to go the way it's been going, it just hasn't quite worked out for them. And Everton, it's a major accomplishment. Everton sit with a real chance to make top four, just 2 points off of top four with a game in hand. The chance is there for them. I mean, Liverpool are right there too. I mean, they're 2 points off themselves. They don't have the game in hand. But I think, you know, and I don't want to jump right into it, but I do think we have an actual battle for top four this season, and a kind of exciting one because there's a lot of different ways it could break.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's jump into it because we said it before the podcast. You just said, I think we should talk about how the league is over now. And I just said, yeah, it is. City is 14 points clear now of Manchester United, 15 points clear of Leicester City. The really only contender I see in this table is West Ham United, the mighty West Ham. But unfortunately, they have 45 points, which is 20 behind City. So I think I'm comfortable conceding the league to City. You seem like, as a City fan who's normally, oh, you know, I never want to call a game over, but it's game over.
At this point, and it's a credit to the way City have played. I also think it's the run. Leicester and United have slipped up a bit recently themselves. And, I mean, City sit there now. A 14-point lead with 11 games to play. If they were to blow that, something would like be horribly, horribly, horribly wrong. So I think City have won the league. In a kind of a weird season for City with such a poor start, has just turned around with the form they've had. I mean, and they've still had some of the issues they had at the beginning of the year. They're not clinical. They really are not that clinical. They score a good amount of goals, but they've scored 56 goals this season in the league in 27 games, but that number should be much higher if you watch the games.
Right.
But they've done enough. And they've just been, the defense has been rock solid. And I just don't see a way that they give this away.
Yeah, I agree. And like you were getting into, the top four race is the one that's more exciting because none of these teams look all that strong. I mean, Leicester has had a very bad run of games. I mean, they tied Burnley today, lost to Arsenal after going ahead. United just drew Crystal Palace. West Ham, I mean, West Ham are every other week, you know, they're up and down. Chelsea, same thing. Liverpool, Everton, Spurs, Arsenal, Villa. I mean, all of these teams, I think, realistically have a chance. All the way down to Arsenal, I think there's a chance to still make top four, which is insane.
Yeah, it would be a hell of a run, I think, for Villa or Arsenal or even Tottenham to make it at this point, but it's not impossible. It's really not. But I mean, specifically, if you look at the West Ham, Chelsea, Liverpool, Everton group, you could convince me any of those four make it. I think United and Leicester will make it in addition to City. I think they both will. I think Leicester for sure.
So I'm more on the United for sure train. Leicester have been awful.
The thing is, though, they still have gotten, like, I mean, it's not like they've had that bad of a run. As poor as they've played.
Knocked out of the Europa League by Slavia Prague.
That doesn't matter in the league, though. I mean, in the league, they still beat Villa. They beat Liverpool. They lost to Arsenal. They drew Burnley. Like, I mean, and then they beat Brighton. Like, that's not that bad of a run in the last five they drew Wolves. Brighton was a cup. That's not that bad of a run. I mean, it's not that bad. It's not great. It's not going to win you the league. But I just think, I mean, we saw her give it away last year, so I get your point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I feel a little more secure than them than United because Leicester can score. And United have a real issue sometimes at putting the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, we saw the most predictable thing ever with the Chelsea-United 0-0 draw. I mean, I should start betting these because I'd be rich off every time United play a big six team, no goals, a draw. I mean, it happens every single time.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and Chelsea are just as guilty, by the way.
Yeah, it's like, and I know United, I think they should have scored more goals than Leicester. It's just that United is a team that will score four goals in one game and then go two games, three games in a row without scoring.
Or
whereas
nine.
Leicester, yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. The nine goals kind of tweaks that number a bit too. But I mean, honestly, I've been very, I think West Ham look very good whenever they play. Obviously, they had the loss this last week, you know, playing City, but they were in that game. I mean,
yeah,
it was 2-1. It was not an easy win for City. The goals came from Diaz and Stones. Like, West Ham played really well in that game. I was very impressed about how well they played. I wouldn't doubt their ability to do it. Chelsea, I don't doubt their ability because their defense has been solidified. And if they can kind of find a way to get a few more goals, I think they could pull it off. Everton, we talked about, you know, the last two wins they've had. They had a little wobble before that. I mean, Everton are very inconsistent, so I don't really want to. I wouldn't back them. I'd still probably back Liverpool, shockingly. I just think the talent thing will get them there. But, I mean, do you have anyone else? Do you think Arsenal, Villa, Tottenham, could they maybe make a push, any of those teams?
Of all of these teams, I think here's how I think the top four will end. It'll be City who wins the league. I think United will retain second. And then three and four is, I mean, I was all in on Leicester, and now Leicester really scare me. I mean, they've had a lot of injuries. Harvey Barnes just got hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, James Justin is out. They have a lot of issues right now. Jamie Vardy hasn't been scoring lately. It's been all up to Iheanacho, which I think is an issue. He scored a phenomenal goal today. I don't know. I think Liverpool is still, like, Liverpool has to make top four, right? With that team, you have to make top four. And granted, they are ravaged by injuries, and their center-back pairing is a joke. It's Arsenal-level bad. So, honestly, if I had to pick two teams, I would probably go Liverpool, and I honestly think Everton. Everton have, like you said, they're inconsistent. But Everton have impressed me in the big games that they've played. Not just the Merseyside Derby. It's just been a season of, you know, they'll go out and beat a big team and then they'll lose to Fulham. But I think they have the capacity to get back on the right track. They also have a game in hand. So realistically, if they win a game, they're in that top four right now.
Yep.
So I would back Liverpool and Everton.
Okay. I think Leicester will make it. I think the top three stays the same, and I think Liverpool sneak in.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't doubt Chelsea though. Chelsea to me, it really wouldn't surprise me if they find a way to. I mean, they've done it so many times on their off seasons. Just find a way to make it in. So it really wouldn't surprise me that much.
The thing with Chelsea, so I know Tuchel just joined. They haven't done anything different than what they were doing with Frank Lampard. Tuchel's actually made some controversial decisions, especially, I don't think we got to talk about this one, the Callum Hudson-Odoi fiasco, where he put him on at halftime and then took him off 30 minutes later. And basically said, like, he wasn't doing enough, so I pulled him off. Like, I think that's a problem. Quick problem.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think he'd be a little harsh on. I think he's done a lot in terms of solidifying their defense. They very much outplayed Atletico Madrid in the Champions League. Like, I think that they're not a bad team. Like, I don't think they're a bad team. I think they're far more solid than they looked at the beginning of the year. And I don't know. I mean, it's definitely interesting. I mean, the American angle has been obviously that Pulisic really hasn't played since Tuchel's taken over. Kai Havertz hasn't played. Hakim Ziyech is now rumored to be leaving in the summer.
He's been bad though.
He has, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's interesting what's going to happen with Chelsea. But I just wouldn't rule them out yet, but I'll stick with the top three as is, and Liverpool stick in as mine.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be close, and it's even going to be a race for the Europa League spots, honestly. Who knows? We might see someone win the FA Cup and boost themselves in there. So, it's really interesting. I think I do want to talk about the Europa League a little bit, though, just because we missed an Arsenal heart attack game. Honestly, there's something about the Europa League. Like, I know it's the only lifeline Arsenal have this season. It is their entire season. But something about watching Arsenal in the Europa League, like, I'm inordinately calm because I know that they're so much better than most of these teams that they play. Like, and it's wrong because they'll usually lose or get knocked out pretty soon. Like, we're playing Olympiacos next round. We know how that went last year.
The revenge.
Year. Yeah. I have the picture of me on the hardwood floors over here just laying down in shambles. But with that game against Benfica over two legs, I just want to say Benfica did nothing. They did not do one single thing that was impressive. They were the second best team for 180 minutes. And they almost beat Arsenal. They almost went through. Just a testament to how much of a fucking annoyance it is to be an Arsenal fan. You dominate for 180 minutes, and then you have to win the way that they did, like coming back, scoring two goals. It's just so frustrating. But what I want to say about that game is Bukayo Saka is just a fucking king. He is the best player I've seen wear an Arsenal shirt. And so long. Aubameyang back in the goals. Martin Odegaard is someone I want to talk about, Jimmy. Have you seen him play at all, really?
I have. Well, here's the thing. I've seen some good moments.
City doesn't count.
Not just the City. I saw the other game before that. I can't remember the one who it was. It wasn't the Leicester game they won. It was the game before City, which I think they drew, if I remember correctly. Help me out here.
Pulling it up now.
He came off the bench in that game. He played a decent amount, though. Maybe 40 minutes. It might have been.
I don't know.
I think it was the Leeds game. Didn't he come off the bench, play like 30, 40 minutes in the Leeds game?
I think he started that one, but I mean...
Maybe he started, whatever. I know I saw him play a game where he didn't play the whole match. And he was fine. I don't think he did much. I don't know. I just didn't see anything. Like, I don't think he's bad. I like Odegaard generally. I think he's a pretty talented player. I haven't seen enough of him to make a judgment myself.
I just want to say, having seen him play the few matches that I have, Odegaard has, and I've seen people make the comparison and say the same thing, but it's true. It's a lazy comparison, but the good traits of Mesut Ozil, the way he picks out these intricate little direct passes, he's really impressed me. I think him and Danny Ceballos are actually a really good combination. I've been impressed. I hope they sign him. If I had to choose between him and Danny Ceballos, I would think I would pick Odegaard from the
Oh, you have to. Danny Ceballos has been... I mean, he almost cost the Benfica game.
Right.
He was... And not just the header. He was awful in that game. He was bad.
Danny had a bad game, but that's Danny Ceballos. Danny Ceballos is a 10 or he's a 0.
That's what I mean. You don't know what you get with him. He's very inconsistent.
But when he's on, he's like a huge difference maker. Mm-hmm. So it's tough to make a decision on him. And one other thing I want to mention about Arsenal is just how amazing Granit Xhaka has been. You know, I was extremely critical of Granit Xhaka. I would have been happy to never see him wear an Arsenal shirt again, probably at this point last year. But the turnaround that he has made when Arsenal are playing well, it is a testament to Granit Xhaka, because it's like as the team goes or as Granit Xhaka goes, that's how well the team plays. And he's been phenomenal. So kudos to him. Kudos to the Arsenal team for also coming back against Leicester City this weekend. 3-1 victory.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. That's what I was going to ask you. Two people in that game, two people who we've been very critical of, deservingly so, is Willian and Pepe.
Not a bad word to say about Pepe lately, though. How good has Pepe been every time that he's gotten a start?
Yeah. He's been good. He's been really good.
Every time he's gotten to play, I think he's scored a goal, created a goal. He's been so impressive. And for the first time in fucking forever, Willian did something. Willian was arguably man of the match against Leicester City, aside from Pepe. He was great. I don't know if that's because Willian and Pepe were playing against, I don't know who they were playing against for Leicester City, but I know that Pepe was tormenting this poor kid. I think his name was Thomas or something. He tormented him, and Willian did a good job against Castagne. Yeah. Who's Belgian, not Italian, but I mean, both players have a lot to prove and to continue to prove, but I mean, no one can say anything bad about their recent performance.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
And credit where credit is due. Willian, I think, was a big help in that Benfica game.
Yeah.
People aren't giving him enough credit for that.
He's doing decent. I mean, I would say the Europa League is a good opportunity for Arsenal when you look at the teams out of there. The main reason being Sevilla, you're not there. You did too good in the Champions League this year. You're not there. You're not going to get to win it.
I was hoping that Arsenal, maybe next round we will, would draw Valencia so we could play Unai Emery. I think that would be quite the revenge game for Unai.
Well, I mean, I think both Villarreal and Arsenal are the favorites. So I think it's a real chance that you get there. I mean, against their matchups. I mean, Dinamo Kiev and Olympiacos. They're probably two of the overall favorites as well. I mean, Tottenham's there, United Roma, too. Whoever beats United in the Milan game. I mean, whoever wins that one. But, I mean, you guys are up there with the teams.
We're going to see another all-English final, I think, whether it's Spurs and United or Arsenal and one of the two. I think that's inevitable. I think, I don't know, just watching some of these teams play, like Milan have been strong in Serie A all year. And then watching them play in the Europa League, I just didn't see anything that was super impressive. And I don't know. I just have a feeling that's going to be the case in all English final again.
Yeah, and Roma haven't been great this year either.
No.
So we'll see.
Yeah. But what else did we want to talk about, Jimmy? We talked about the most important competition in the world, the Europa League.
Well, I don't have really much to say about the Champions League this week. I think we'll talk about that again after next week when some of the matches happen. I do want to talk about the relegation battle we're starting to have in the Premier League. They're waking up. The teams have got, they're getting angry. I mean, we got to talk about it. I think we talked about it a little bit on the last pod because it was when it was starting. But Fulham are making a run. They do not want to go down.
Jimmy, Fulham are the best of that bottom group. It's like, it's so clear that Fulham are actually a good team and can play in the Premier League. And it's just they've had such bad, bad runs. I mean, they have as many losses as Arsenal. They have 11 losses. Mm-hmm. The issue is they have 11 draws.
Yeah.
They don't win enough games.
They don't score consistently, but they've been doing it better. My thing is this, Michael. If you're looking at those bottom teams, I'm going to give you a bottom six. So your Sheffield, your West Brom, your Fulham, Newcastle, Brighton, Burnley. Fulham are the best team of that six, right? Like, they are the best
they
team,
are.
Right?
They are, and they might go down just because Burnley are going to grind out draws. They're going to grind out victories. Burnley are staying up. Newcastle is the scary one. I think Brighton are good enough to stay up, too. But
I think Brighton are right there with them, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Brighton got robbed a point this week in that game. The Lewis Dunk free kick that didn't count and then counted and then didn't count again. When I've seen Fulham play and I've watched a few of their matches, they've been far better than these teams. Brighton, I think you could actually argue, hasn't played that bad on their run. But Newcastle, quite frankly, is lucky to be where they are. The fact that they've continued to leave Steve Bruce and haven't made a change is wild to me.
This is out of control.
That has far more talent than these other six teams. No doubt in my mind, Newcastle is the most talented of that group. And yet they're really struggling. I think they're a real threat to go down. I get your point. I think Burnley will be safe. They will do enough, like they continue to do. But I really think Fulham could push it. I mean, West Brom have been better too. You know, they've gotten 5 points over the last three. Sheffield got a big win today. Sheffield has the issue of just dug themselves in such a hole, and they're unable to score. Just completely, they have 16 goals this season.
Yeah, that,
in 27 matches, 16 goals.
Can I tell you why? They spent all their fucking money on Rian Brewster, who can't fucking score a goal. He's terrible. He's terrible, and they're relying on him. Poor kid.
I did that guy. I feel bad for him.
He's not good. No, some people, you know how we always say, he's just bad. Just not good at soccer. Just not good at it. It's so tough looking at the bottom of the table, though. Like you said, Newcastle are by far the most talented team there. When you look on paper, like, they have the players. I thought Newcastle were going to have a great year this year, and they have just been terrible. I think Sheffield, West Brom are dead. They're too far in. They're not going to do enough. They're not going to go on a streak to win. It's Newcastle and Fulham right now, I think. Those are the two that concern me.
Yeah.
And Fulham are hot. Hot-ish.
Yeah. I want to see Fulham stay up, too. I want to say that. I want to see him stay up.
How bad would it be if Newcastle went down, though? Like, how many players are going to leave that team? Like, Saint-Maximin, there's no shot he stays, right?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of players I think would leave. I mean, I think that that's going to be... I mean, Newcastle's gone through this before. Newcastle's a team that went through that where their entire team got stripped in a lot of ways when they went down. So I hope it doesn't happen. I think Graham Potter's a pretty good manager, so I don't want to see Brighton go down. But, I mean, they, like I said, Brighton's had a rough run where I don't think they've played as bad as their results would make you think they've played. I'll tell you who's really bad. Team that I said at the beginning of the year.
Tell you who's really bad.
I know, because they are really bad. And I bashed them at the beginning of the year, so they could maybe go down. And then they ended up in first place for like 2 months, which is Southampton. Southampton have been so incredibly bad. It's astounding how poor they've been over the last couple months.
Yeah, Southampton are super hot and cold, apparently. I didn't expect that from Hasenhüttl.
Yeah, I mean, like, ever since January 16th, well, actually, so they beat Liverpool on January 4th to start the year. To start the year with a win there. Ever since then, they were beat by Southampton. They were beat by Arsenal.
They beat themselves? They were beat by Southampton? Southampton,
excuse me. They were beat by Leicester. They were beat by Arsenal. They did beat themselves when I get to this next game.
Yeah.
They lost 9-0 to United.
Yep.
They lost to Aston Villa. They lost to Newcastle. They lost to Wolves. They drew Chelsea, lost to Leeds, and lost to Everton. That is their run, Michael. They have 1 point since January 4th. One point?
I love it. Hasenhüttl, baby. That's the game plan. He had his moment. He beat Klopp. He dropped to the floor and cried on national television. And then he hasn't won a game since. It's just how it goes. I mean, they've been overachieving to that point. Yeah. So you can kind of see how they fell back down to earth. But 1 point from that many matches is trouble.
It's really concerning.
They're not going down, though. They have no chance to go down.
No, they're not going down. They still have 30 points. They're 7 points clear of the drop.
Yeah. Yep. Not concerned about them. But who do we want to talk about next, Jimmy? I know we're coming up on our time, I think. I know this is going to be a short one. And so we want to hit maybe one or two more teams and get to predictions. I want to talk about Villa. Villa are another team who I think are not as streaky as Southampton, not even close to that, but they're hot and cold too. They got a win over Leeds, and then they went and lost to Sheffield today. The thing that I want to say about Villa is, without Jack Grealish, they're obviously a different team. They're not going to score as many goals, play as fluidly as they'd like to. I just want to say, I think Ollie Watkins is going to be a star in the Premier League for some time. I love Ollie Watkins. I think he's great.
Yeah, you're a big fan. You've said it a few times. You've been a big fan of his most of the season. I do want to say, I think he's proved a lot of people wrong. I think a lot of people were quick to say that he was not going to be a good signing. I saw people comparing him to Allaire at the beginning of the season, saying this is another striker brought in for a lot of money who's just not going to produce. And he's produced very well. I think he's a very solid player. I don't think he's anything spectacular, but I think he's really solid. I think he's going to play in the league for a long time, score a lot of goals.
It reminds me of Callum Wilson. They play kind of that similar style.
Yeah, and yeah, no, I can see that.
Callum Wilson's been very successful, I think so. You can't argue with that. I think he's just a very solid, good striker, like you said. And with a team like Villa, who you have that many players like Jack Grealish, I mean, El Hagazi has been great too. Players who are going to create for him, I think he's going to have a solid career there.
Here's a question for you. What end of the season does Grealish stay? He stayed last year. No one thought he was going to stay last year.
Yeah, he does. I think at this point, Jack Grealish has to stay, right? He's like a staple. I still don't understand. Tell me if you remember this. I remember my early days of watching the Premier League, Jack Grealish being like 16, 17 years old, wearing the low socks, the shin pads poking out. And Jack Grealish was fucking good. And then Villa went down and no one bought him. How's that possible?
I think so. He was young, so he was good. He wasn't the player he is now. No, he was just breaking through, and he was young because he's only 25 now. And I think I don't remember the year they went down.
It was like early 2010-ish.
Maybe 15, somewhere around there. Like at least 5 or 6 years ago. It was a while ago. I think it was the best thing for him that nobody did, because he got to stay in Villa, be a captain by, what was he, 22, 23, and was captain of the team, bringing them back up and getting them to the point where they are now, where they're solidly a mid-table team that's trying to push beyond that. I'll say this, though. I think he may leave. I think within the next few years, he does leave. I think, assuming he makes the England team, which I think he will, if he has a good, solid Euros or World Cup, he will get bought by United, Liverpool, somebody. I don't think Chelsea, for whatever reason, I think United is where he ends up. I don't know why it's in my head, but I think he ends up at United at some point.
I mean, I'd hate to see that. I'd love to see him at Arsenal. I know Arsenal have been linked with Jack Grealish forever.
I could see Arsenal too, actually. Yeah. I could see Arsenal because I think his style of play, if they don't keep Odegaard or something like that, he could be the type of player to bring. Do that. He also can play on the wing, so he can play there as well.
I just wonder what amount of money it would take to get Jack Grealish. Like, Jack Grealish to me is like an 80 million player easily.
Oh yeah, 65 plus, absolutely.
Yeah,
the England factor adds bonuses. 80 is probably right.
I think 80 would be like a fair deal for him, honestly. So that's the reason why I think it's going to be so tough to get him. And I just don't see him leaving, to answer your question. But now that I'm looking at Villa, I've looked at the Leeds game that they played. I just want to also say Rafinha. What a player Rafinha is. He's so fucking good. I love watching him.
He is very, very good.
But anyways, Jimmy, who else should we talk about before we hit predictions?
Let me think. I mean, can I say this? After watching City play Wolves, that... I think the Wolves magic's gone. They're still solid, and I feel harsh criticizing them, because I think the loss of Jimenez has just been so crushing to them, because they were already a team that doesn't score a lot of goals, and you took away your guy who scored 20 goals last season, I think it was, and that's brutal. But I mean, they still play the same style of play, which is this uberly defensive counterattacking style. And without a striker, it's really rough. I do want to say, I think Neto is an excellent player. I think they found another gem in him.
Yeah.
But the reason I bring it up is talking about Grealish sale. I think we may start to see some of these players actually get sold. Your Ruben Neves, your players like Neto. We already saw Jota go last season. I think you may see Jimenez himself, if he can get back healthy. Like, I think some of these players may start to pack and be on their way. I want to also say Connor Cody should make the England team. Anytime I see him play, I'm really impressed with him. I don't think he should start. No, I'm not saying like he should be starting on the team. I just think he is as solid as a center back can be. I think England has a couple center backs that are not like, they're not flashy. I'd look at Lewis Dunk the same way. I see these guys, and I think these guys are actually really solid center backs that I would bring. Question is, can they play it out of the back well enough to play the way Southgate wants to? Like, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he played Kyle Walker at center back again and goes with like a John Stones, Harry Maguire, Kyle Walker three center back approach.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
I'm getting ahead of myself, but
to your point, though. Yeah, I was just gonna say, I think I prefer like a Lewis Dunk over Connor Cody, though.
I like Lewis Dunk too. I think Cody's been good. I think he's been like underratedly good, because he never really gets talked about. But anytime I see them play, I'm usually pretty impressed with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I don't know if an England call-up, though, is like, I don't know. I just don't see it. Yeah, I think it's a little bit tough. I mean, I think it's going to be tough for, well, even like a Phil Foden to make that team.
Phil Foden making the team.
I mean, him and Bukayo Saka should be walking.
They'll both be on the team. If they don't make the team, let me just say that. That is an absolute joke.
but Gareth Southgate hasn't brought Jack Grealish to the team, or
I don't get that either. I mean, I'll put it this way. Like, the England team has so much young talent, but if Foden and Saka don't make the team, it's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke. They are arguably two of their better players. Mm-hmm. Like, England has some stars. Like, let's say that. Raheem Sterling, Marcus Rashford, Trent Alexander-Arnold, they're superstar players on their day. When they're on, they're superstars. But Saka and Foden are next level talent. Like, outside of the Mbappe Haaland level of like young superstars, that's where these guys sit. They sit at that tier right below that, in my opinion. I mean, they need people, to make the team.
People hype. Last year we were talking about Jadon Sancho of generational talent. I mean, these two guys look just as good, if not better, than him.
They're right there with him. That's a group I put them in. Yeah. It's like the Sancho, Joao Felix type of group. That's where I really put them. I think they're that. I think people sometimes like don't want to overstate it. Like, they think everyone overrates Premier League players, so they're going to say they're doing it. But if Phil Foden was playing at Real Madrid, he would already be like the face of like global soccer at this point. Like, he'd be what everybody was trying to pretend that Vinicius was. Except they found that Vinicius stinks.
Yeah. Vinicius and Rodrigo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those two guys are, like, truly the real deal. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I know I am biased. Something about watching Bukayo Saka is just so different for me. Yeah. It's probably the same thing you feel when you watch Phil Foden play.
Yeah.
They're just not the same.
Yeah, I know I'm biased. But when I watch him play, it's like, he's one of, if City need a goal, he's someone I want on the field to score a goal. And we're talking about City, who are going to walk the league.
Yeah.
And when they need a goal, he's someone that they put on. If he's not already playing, he's the person they turn to bring on.
Right.
Like, that should say it all to you right there. The West Ham game, when they needed a goal, he was who they brought on.
Yeah. I mean, so incredible to watch them both play. But anyways, Jimmy, in the interest of time, I think we get into the predictions. So let's hit it. We have Fulham and Tottenham tomorrow at 1 p.m. Thursday.
So this, we've hyped up Fulham, and now you have this. I'm going to go a 1-1 draw. I think they need it. I think they can do it. I'm going with it.
I'm following you there on the 1-1. This last time they played Spurs was the game that turned it all around for Fulham. That was the game that I think everyone looked at them and said, wow, they're actually not that bad. They can play. And I think they get another draw here. West Brom versus Everton.
Everton are better than West Brom, 2-0.
2-0, I'm following you there too. Liverpool versus Chelsea. A goal fest
I know what you're going to predict. I know 100% what you're going to predict. I'm not going to go the same with you. I'm actually going to go Liverpool 2-1.
I hate to follow you on all three. I'm going to go 2-0. I'll go 2-0 Liverpool. Oh. Actually, no, I can't. 2-2. Ozan Kabak is so bad.
He's really so bad. Thank God. If you're a Liverpool fan, be so happy that you didn't buy him permanently. I know he had a good game in the Champions League against Leipzig, but be thankful you did not buy it. You got him with the option to buy. Thank God it was the obligation, because he is bad.
I watched that Everton match, and he was at fault for that first one. I'll go 2-2. I'll stick with 2-2 there. Next, we go to the weekend. We have Burnley and Arsenal at 7:30 a.m. Another 7:30 game.
I'm going to go 1-0 Arsenal.
3-0 Arsenal. Fuck you, Burnley. Bums. Sheffield United versus Southampton.
1-1 draw.
2-0 Southampton. Villa versus Wolves.
I have to go Villa here, 2-1.
I like Villa here too. I'll go 2-0. Brighton versus Leicester.
3-0 Leicester.
The decline continues. It's a 1-1 draw. West Brom, Newcastle.
West Brom 1, Newcastle 0.
Jimmy, if there's ever been a fucking nil-nil, I think this has to be it. This is the most boring game of all time. 7 a.m. If you're having trouble sleeping, watch this one. Liverpool versus Fulham at 9 a.m. Sunday.
I'm going to go a 2-0 Liverpool win.
I'll go 2-0 as well. And then we have the Manchester Derby. City versus United at 11:30 on Sunday.
So usually I always predict these very conservatively. I'm not going to today. I think City are much better than United. 5-0 Manchester City. This is the coronation for the season. The coronation. Sergio Aguero finally scores a goal in the Premier League for the first time in over a year.
Wow. That's so tough. United lock down when they play these big games.
And they've played great against City over the last couple of years. They really have.
I can't follow you on 5-0. I'll go 1-0 Manchester City. They need to win. I mean, they're the better team, but United have a tendency to keep these ones very close. And then, as I burp, we have Spurs versus Palace on 2:15.
2-1 Spurs.
Nil-nil. I'll never pick Spurs. Unless it's a really easy one. And then on Monday, this can be the last matches we do. Chelsea versus Everton. That's a great match.
That is a good one. I'm actually going to go for a draw in it. 1-1 draw.
I'll go 2-1 Everton. I think this one will actually be fun to watch, though. I'm excited for that. And then this one is another great game on Monday. West Ham versus Leeds.
3-1 West Ham.
Ooh.
I'm out on Leeds.
No. I'm out on
Leeds. I actually think Leeds are very poor right now. I think they're very poor.
Leeds are fun, though.
They are fun, but I think they're really poor.
I'll go 3-2 West Ham. I mean, I don't think they're going to beat West Ham, but I think they're going to put up a fight. 3-2.
3-2. I mean, the Leeds games are still fun, but they can't finish lately. They really can't. They don't score goals. And West Ham are good. Like, West Ham are good. Like, at some point, we just need to accept they're good.
I know. I'm still trying to accept that.
And Mikel Antonio, by the way, Jamaican. He's going to play for Jamaica. I love it.
Is that confirmed?
I don't know if it's 100% confirmed, but it's like the thing that's out there now is he's coming to CONCACAF. He's going to play for Jamaica. He's going to knock the U.S. from making the World Cup again.
Hooray. We get Mikel Antonio to knock us out of the World Cup. But anyways, Jimmy, I think that's where we should wrap up. So do you want to hit him with the plugs before we go?
So you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Soccer Mostly. Email us mostlysoccershow@gmail.com. Leave us a favor, 5-star reviews. We love them. We appreciate them. They're very, very helpful. I think we're about 45 minutes, Michael, so we're a little longer than we're supposed to be. We're damn close, though. We did very good.
Yeah, it's a testament that we've made it to 45. So I'm gonna wrap it up here. I'll say thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.